Navigating through the energies of New Earth is not an easy process and can become extremely overwhelming at times. As we all ascend into higher frequencies, we're all being guided to embrace our own unique divine pathway, a pathway created in the vibration of love. Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within and understand the message being shared even greater. When you live in the frequency of love, there is no competition, so Carrie will be joined regularly by fellow soul family members who will bring forth wisdom and knowledge she knows should be shared on a global level. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners to see what message Spirit wants to share with all those listening in for the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, come and join us now on Vibe Nation Radio, here on the IOM Radio Network.
And it is Indian summer here on Vibe Nation Radio, and I'm Chris Anderson One Feather, and I am doing the summer gig while Carrie is away doing whatever Carrie's doing. At any rate, I'm really honored to have a really brilliant pundit, metaphysical pundit, spiritual pundit, and an insightful guy all around. Mr. Steve Bowerman is joining me today, also known as Swami Bayandananda. How are you today, Steve?
I'm doing good, and we can pronounce it Bearman like Smokey the Bear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you know that Smokey the Bear is out of work now, thanks to Mr. Trump, so...
Right. Of course. Well, apparently, thanks to Mr. Trump, so is his mooch out of work as well. So things change rapidly over there at the I'm not okay, you're not okay corral.
Yes, and it is a rough ride for anybody who's going down that path. So how are things there on the West Coast? You guys in California kind of are insulating yourselves from the current times. Do you feel any of the ricochets of our current situation in America, or are you just kind of oblivious and doing your own thing?
Well, it's impossible to be oblivious, and I think that what we have right now, you know, my background originally, before I started doing comedy as a Swami, my background originally was in political science, although I never actually got to dissect a politician. I never quite got that far. But anyway, as I observe this current New World situation that we're facing right now, we now have the perfect face on the American empire. We now have somebody at the head of the empire whose actual being is in alignment with actually the most rapacious aspects of what we've been doing kind of undercover for the past 50, 60, 70 years. And so... essentially, as we come to heal ourselves, which means restoring wholeness in this domain, this is a necessary chapter to, first of all, remove the last vestiges of illusion from the American people, American voter, as to what's really been in charge. The dark of heartlessness has been in charge. And so now what's happening is that it has activated so many people here in California and all across the country. And I'm hoping that the activism will go way past resisting, because as anybody who knows spiritual principles understands, you know, what you resist persists. So the harder you push against something, the more power you give it. So now what we need to do is what the Swami would call tell a vision, so that we actually have a healing and functional vision that is resonant with the virtues and values that 90% of us, regardless of our political orientation, would resonate with. Something like the Golden Rule.
That's really what it appears to be, is it's a crisis that has occurred in our own consciousness. And, you know, at some point we have to actually make a commitment one direction or another. And it's interesting to see how really a minority of people created a situation that has completely rewritten the image of America globally, and everybody else just kind of was sitting around watching it. And that's the thing I think is the most astonishing, is that nobody is actually really mobilizing to make a difference. So do you see any signs that other than a few people trying to, you know, impeach him, do you see any signs that the public is ready to get off their butt yet, or are we still just kind of hoping it'll all go away?
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, one of the things that I did right after the election is I began to educate myself as I began to contact the people that I knew, weren't many, but there were some people that I respect and understand who voted for Donald Trump. And I already had the appreciation that Trump didn't really win, the Democrats lost. You know, the Democrats really hold, in a certain regard, they are much more in touch with the actual feelings of the American people. But their brand has been without courage, without vision, and without the willingness to really confront the real shadow in our country. So consequently, their brand has been, vote for us, we're not as bad as the other guys. And as I began to go deeper, I began to discover that there is an entire, you know, alt-right press that has been exposing some of the secrets that have been obfuscated by the mainstream press. And the difference between the way Fox News lies, which is blatant, provable lies, and the way that the New York Times lies, is that the New York Times tends to shape policy by shaping public opinion and by avoiding inconvenient truths that don't resonate with what they're trying to broadcast, particularly those that involve perpetrations of what some people are calling the deep state. That is what happens no matter who's in office. And so as I began to look at, you know, right now Hillary Clinton is suffering about the same public opinion that Donald Trump is. She's down there. Her approval rating is right down there with Trump. And there was, first of all, when you look at how the mainstream press totally disrespected Bernie Sanders in the primary campaign, totally gave their entire loyalty to Hillary, when you look at how the Democratic Party apparatus lied, cheated, and stole to make sure that Hillary was the candidate and not Bernie. And particularly when you recognize that the Bernie Sanders positions are much, much, much more resonant with the sentiments, not just of the people who normally vote Democrat, but many people who voted for Donald Trump because they don't like the neoliberal policies of signing our entire sovereignty away to the multinational corporations via things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and so on. The difference between me and those Trump supporters is that I have a very clear picture of Donald Trump's character or lack of character. And, you know, as somebody once wisely said, character is destiny. So everything that we're seeing from Donald Trump can be expected. And there were people who voted for him simply because they wanted to disrupt the status quo. And Bernie Sanders would have been a very viable candidate for disrupting the status quo by moving forward, but because that was preempted by the Democratic Party establishment, we now have somebody who has disrupted the status quo by moving it backward.
Right. It was, it was definitely on the horizon for a long, long time. Now we're in the midst of the avalanche as it starts to really escalate, and ultimately I think that like you are, you know, indicating here, there is going to be a good outcome, but it's going to be through times of peril and times of duress before we actually arrive there. Do you think that Bernie would be a viable candidate for this next round as we move forward toward, you know, the 2020 adventure?
I think there's something different that's going to have to happen. Part of where I've been putting my political we'll laugh later on. I'm sure there's stuff to laugh about. But where I've been putting my political focus has been on the transpartisan movement, which is essentially calling citizens away from and beyond the two-party system to begin to work together on real issues rather than reverting back to ideologies and stereotypes, which essentially keep us in these polarities where nothing really is possible. And there's two things that there's three things that I want to, that most people don't know about, that are steps in the right direction. Number one is the campaign currently going on called hashtag Unrig. And hashtag Unrig brings together two unlikely suspects. One is Robert Steele, who is a conservative, ex-CIA, very outside-the-box thinker, who is a Donald Trump supporter and who still, I think, imagines that Donald Trump will somehow do something positively heroic. The other is Cynthia McKinney, who is the first black woman elected to Congress from Georgia. So we have somebody from what some would say, well, the very far right, and somebody from the very far left. And they have put together something called the Election Reform Act of 2017. And the way their plan is going forward, Robert has he bought an RV, and he has a big banner on the RV.
We've got to take a break here, Steve. Sorry to interrupt you, but we'll
That's
be back in just a couple
back.
Of minutes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back. I'm speaking with Steve Behrman. And Steve, you were giving us some thoughts about what is in process as far as this next big shift. It's barreling down upon us here. So would you like to continue there with
I'll just wrap that up. Yeah, there are three things. So Unrig, hashtag Unrig, go look that up. So they've Robert Steele from the right wing, Cynthia McKinney from the left wing, has come up with this phenomenal Election Reform Act. And the design is to really reinstate the power of we the people, to make sure that all of our votes, that everybody gets the vote, including felons, because one of the ways that black people have been disenfranchised in this country is that if you're convicted of a felony, you're unable to vote. So a lot of black men can never vote because they've been in the system, some justly and many, many, many unjustly. And so, number one, that everybody gets to vote. Number two, that all votes are counted. We have, Swami would say, we have smart voting machines that are so smart that they can pick a candidate without even the voter. And so we want votes counted by hand and also via affirmed through exit polls. And then also to include the third parties and fourth parties and fifth parties, providing they have a certain number of supporters, both in the debates and in the elections, so that we have ranked choice voting. So if your first choice isn't elected, you can bump down to your second choice. So you could, for example, pick a Green Party candidate, and then if that candidate doesn't get the majority, then it could go to your Democratic candidate, or you could pick a Libertarian candidate, and then it could go to the Republican candidate or whoever you designate. So that campaign is being launched right now, and they're traveling through the country, Robert and Cynthia, they're planning for the rest of the summer, so that going to black churches throughout the country to really help disenfranchise people get behind this plan to pressure their Congress folks while Congress is home on summer vacation to support this Election Reform Act. The second thing is that there has been a transpartisan political movement in this country for a number of years that hasn't been on the radar because the mainstream media has ignored it. And so there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people who are looking to move past the insanity that has led to the two most unpopular candidates in history facing off against one another. And finally, there's something that's on the horizon called the National Town Square. And this is a non-governmental, non-corporate organization that's putting together a platform where every citizen who participates will have a verifiable vote, as verifiable as your bank card, online vote on any topic, so that it's a way of aggregating public opinion on issues, and if enough people respond to a certain issue, even if it's not one that the mainstream parties want to take on, like real election reform and financial and taking money out of politics, like the legalization of cannabis and hemp, like a number of these things that would preempt the influence of the corporate state, of big agriculture, big pharma, and big oil, then with 25 or 30 or 50 million people saying, we want this, it will become a lot more difficult for legislators to ignore.
Yeah, and that will definitely be a blessing because we have, been watching this evolution of politicians completely ignoring the opinions and needs of the people who put them into office. And it seems like both Republican and Democrat right now are at such an extreme level of corruption that it's almost going to take, a total meltdown in order for there to actually be a change made, because they have so ingratiated themselves into the system. In some ways, it almost seems like the system will fall apart without their presence, which is scary.
Well, actually, what's happened is that because of the necessity to raise money in order to get elected, that the corruption is actually institutionalized. That nobody runs, there's not a candidate, and certainly not in the Senate, who is not a millionaire. And so what's happened is that the elites of both parties have really become disconnected. And, Donald Trump, we all know what – I certainly think of him as a hoodlum, or a crudlum. He's a crudlum. He's a criminal and a hoodlum. I would call that a crudlum. However, his pop, you know, there are people who voted for him because they said, here's a guy who is speaking more truth than Hillary. And in a certain regard, you know, Hillary is sitting on top of a status quo system that changes very, 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 very slowly. And, you know, just on the other end of my work, on the more serious end of my work, in addition to the comedy and the Swami, I co-authored a book with Bruce Lipton, cellular biologist, who wrote Biology of Belief. And our book is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. And Bruce's contention is that crisis precipitates evolution. And we are in not just the sixth great extinction, but in a slew of crises of many kinds. And what happens is, just as the caterpillar has to totally collapse and deconstruct in order to yield the butterfly, that's where we are right now, that the caterpillar is crumbling. The system cannot sustain itself. And many people who I knew who voted for Donald Trump really saw this as a way to expedite the collapse of the entire system. Now, I don't like that idea that much because a lot of people get hurt in that, and people don't, you know, if you're not Latino or gay or lesbian or a Muslim or poor or black or any of those categories, then it's not going to impact you as much. But for the people who are on the front lines of Donald Trump's war on reality, you know, it's pretty dangerous and it's pretty painful and it's pretty stressful. So I don't like the idea of creating more suffering. But the system does need to totally dismantle itself. And I'm looking at where we are right now. Imagine you have an uncle. We'll call him Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam is hopelessly addicted to something. In this case, corruption. And so family members, like we the people, decide that what's necessary is to stage an intervention and check our Uncle Sam into a program, because it's recognized, as all the 12-step groups recognize, you know, that the individual is powerless against this addictive force, and so it has to turn it over to a higher power. And that's where we are. You know, we have to actually recognize that the system cannot reform itself, and the two political parties are both equally bankrupt. So I'm not looking at Bernie Sanders in 2020. I'm looking at an independent candidate who represents the heart and soul values of we the people, that transcends the culture wars, that transcends the ideologies that people have found themselves comfortable with, and focuses on the virtues and values that we share in common, and holding our government to a standard that we haven't been able to hold them to because we've been divided and conquered by being divided into these two tribes.
That makes complete sense. And in this journey toward reinventing America, a lot of people have thoughts about different generations. And what are your thoughts about perhaps the millennials being part of this catalyst in a bigger way than we have been expecting?
Well, you know, they, in a certain regard, the millennials spoke in 2016. They spoke twice. I was part of I did a Bernie blog for the first several months of 2016, and I met a lot of people who were young people interested in climate change, interested in the environment, interested in really creating some things that are outside the box. And they immediately recognized Bernie as a candidate who was speaking truth, who had a certain level of authenticity. And yes, in parentheses, I would say that there's certain things that Bernie can't talk about. He can't really go against the corporate state and their foreign policy, particularly in their support of Israel. But Bernie did a lot of things. And so a lot of young people, and I met many of them, went full on for Bernie. When Bernie was defeated, and really what was a really skewed, fixed, and questionable primary system, with superdelegates already pledged for Hillary, those people dropped out. They did not do what Bernie suggested that they do. Bernie, speaking from an older generation understanding, vote for the lesser evil, vote for Hillary. And the millennials and the young people that I've been in touch with, they just are not interested in this lesser evil thing. They're just not. They could not bring themselves. So the millennial staying home was one of the reasons why Hillary lost, Trump won, and why Sanders could have won in 2016. So one of the events that I do every year that I love so much is the Oregon Country Fair. And it's not like a county fair, it's country fair that was started, you know, 40-something years ago by Ken Kesey and the Grateful Dead. And I call it When Hippies Go Good. And it's a wonderful event, and it's a mixed generation event. And it's one of the places where there's a lot of mutual respect among the elders, you know, the baby boomers, the millennials, and the generation in between. And so I see that there is now a growing willingness for connection between the generations. I think that when I look back on when I was young, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and how we student radicals went about trying to change the world, we lacked maturity. We lacked perspective. And so what I'm seeing now is that there needs to be a connection between the generations, just as in my day we had elders like Dr. Benjamin Spock, Ashley Montague, people like that, who were able to inform the political movement, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. So I think we need the energy of youth.
And we'll take a break here and be right back with Swami.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we are back talking to Swami Steve and looking at the situation with millennials. So, as you were saying, bridging that gap between the generations seems to be a key point in our advancement here.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's starting to happen. You know, we are at, you know, it always takes a long time for new ideas to get adopted. Consider that 100 years after Copernicus actually proved that the Earth revolves around the sun, Galileo was in prison for saying the same thing. And so 110 years or more after Albert Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, we are still in a Newtonian political system of equal and opposite forces pushing against one another rather than focusing on the field that is created. And so part of the work that I'm doing, I'm also launching a serious and humorous radio podcast called Wiki Politiki. The idea is that we're bringing on people who have this meta conversation in mind, a bigger picture, a bigger playing field for our politics to play out on, that uses the technology that we have right now. We have the ability to assemble millions and millions and millions of people can assemble at the same time in the same place virtually. And, you know, if our democracy wants to actually not just wants to survive, actually survive as an actual issue, and if it wants to thrive, then I think we need to begin to use these tools wisely so that the wisdom of the millions and millions of ordinary people we have in this country who have common sense can be tapped without being poisoned and persuaded by propagandists and manipulators.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the avenues that we have for reclaiming, you know, the whole idea of America, the whole concept of we the people. It's going to definitely have to be a journey that launches in that direction of communication via internet, via all these different cyber systems that are right at our fingertips, that are already in place, in fact. But what about the people who are trying to quash that then? There is definitely a subculture among the elitists that would like to get rid of the internet, would like to get rid of the information exchanges going on. Do you see them having any kind of serious impact?
Well, I mean, they are having a serious impact. They're doing whatever they can. I mean, the whole idea of trying to slow or stop solar energy, wind energy, thwarting democracy, these are the toxic forces that we have in our system. And I call them sociopathogens. And the reason why the Democrats have done such a lousy job of representing the people is that they've really not been willing to face the evil that has been institutionalized inside of our system. And when you create a system that necessarily chooses, has people pick the lesser evil, you're always then ending up defending the evil that's on your side as justified because of the evil on the other side. And this is how the sociopaths and the manipulators and the exploiters hide in plain sight. So, you know, there's fake news on both sides. I think the people on the right wing like being lied to because clearly Fox News, you know, perpetrates many, many provable lies, whereas people on the left prefer lying to themselves. They prefer imagining that somebody like Obama or Hillary could actually make a dent and change the system. And so what the Democrats have been doing since the first Clinton administration, they've shifted the focus of attention to culture wars, to identity politics, to political correctness, so that they've secured that their particular group of hyphenated Americans will continue to vote for Democrats because supposedly they're rights are being protected, rights of gays and black people and women and so on, whereas the other side is seeking to curtail those rights. And while that's true, what happened was the people who were economically disenfranchised, the white working class people in Michigan, as Michael Moore warned, and in many of the Midwest, Rust Belt states, in the South, and so on, they were disenfranchised by the Democratic Party, who became just the other corporate party. My joke that's not so funny is that the Republicans sold their souls to the devil, whereas the Democrats, they merely rented theirs.
Tragic, but very obvious, though, and especially in the current times. I mean, it's very clear that that's what's happened.
And so rather than focus on overcoming evils, I think what the progressives, and I include in here progressive Greens and libertarian conservatives, who are all awakening to how the corporate state, that is, corporations in cahoots with our governmental structure, has limited our freedom, limited our health, limited our access to political power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and has put us into these two competing silos with two completely different realities. We have two different realities right now. We have two competing realities. It's never been that case before. And so what we really need to have happen is left and right coming front and center in respectful and loving conversation to come up with a semblance of a shared reality. That would be a good first step. And from there, the necessary reforms and transformations will be able to take place.
But that raises a real issue as far as, you know, the fundamental launching this whole process, and the fact that respectful conversation really doesn't seem to be anything that anybody is actually willing to commit to. I mean, we're seeing conversation become more extreme as we continue to move forward here. So how can the public force the political system and force the politicians to grow up, to become more capable of having civil communication and to become more able to accommodate the fact that other people have eyes, ideas that are different from the ones that you hold dear?
Well, you know, first of all, there is an organization, people can Google it. It's called Living Room Conversations. And Living Room Conversations was launched by Joan Blades, who is a founder of MoveOn.org, and Amanda Roman, who is a young conservative activist. And it was based on the work of Joseph McCormick. And Joseph and I wrote an ebook. If you contact me at info@wakeuplaughing, I can make that link available to you. The ebook is called Reuniting America. And Joseph, a conservative, transpartisan activist, and I are very close friends. And Joseph did a very interesting experiment in Seattle, Washington. He convened this transpartisan meetup group for at least 6 months. I think it went on for almost a year. And it was very diverse. I went to a couple of their meetings. It was, like, in a way crazy because you had very extreme left wing, right wing, everybody in the middle. And when all of the yelling died down, after everybody had expressed themselves and, you know, exhausted their rage, there was kind of silence. And then people began to teach one another. And the libertarian conservatives taught the progressive Greens about the banking system. And the progressive Greens taught the libertarian conservatives about environmentalism and about community. And I can send you, if people are interested, I'll send you the conclusions that this very diverse transpartisan group came up with as to what they shared in common as their goals. And it'll either blow your mind or make you cry. Because that is the essence of who we are, that is disguised obfuscated by the two-party tyranny and is intentionally ignored by the mainstream media. So there is a very growing transpartisan group. Did you know that in 2015, I think it was, when they did a survey, 43% of the voters called themselves independents, with only 25% identifying as Democrats and 20% as Republicans. So those people who recognize that neither of the two parties actually represents them is close to 50%, and getting closer all the time, given the disgust that most people had with the election last year. So there is a ripeness for this organization. And as soon as the first platform is online, and I'm hoping that it's the National Town Square, because those are the people I'm working with, as soon as people recognize that there is an opportunity to overgrow the government rather than overthrow, through an evolutionary upwising, when we wake up and wise up and gather together to exert our power as sovereign citizens, that's what's going to make the difference. And as was seen with movements like Arab Spring and the fall of the Berlin Wall, this is something that can happen over a matter of days, and everybody will be taken by surprise.
That's really thrilling. And yeah, I think that for everybody who is tuned in or will tune into our program, you definitely stop by Steve's website and check out all the different projects going on and all the different opportunities to connect.
Yeah. And wake up laughing here. Oh, sorry.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hello, I'm John Lithgow. Manatees are unique, among the most amazing animals on Earth, but they're endangered. We pose the greatest threat to their survival. Many manatees are killed or injured by boats or other recreational activities. I'm a writer of children's books, including one about manatees, and I believe education is the key. You can be part of the solution. Please contact Save the Manatee Club right now. Call 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Back with Steve Behrman and the Swami, and looking at the crisis in America, which is always kind of enchanting in its own perspective.
We've stayed away from comedy on this one. You know, I think that people are. This really has people's minds because again the surface bubble of all is well has been broken by this very, very toxic force that has taken hold of our government. And I think as we understand that this toxic force has been operating undercover and now simply has broken through the surface, I think we have a little bit better idea of a clearer picture of what we're up against, and I think things are going to change more rapidly than if we had, you know, the lulling us to sleep via Hillary.
Well, a lot of people that I, you know, kind of circulate with here in the Chicago region are Democrats, and were strong Hillary supporters. And when she lost, I occasionally brought up the reality that, you know, Hillary was much more subtle and much more motivated by power than money, than Trump is. Trump is just in your face, and there's nothing subtle about the man. But Hillary, I think, could have done much worse damage if she had been elected, because she is good at working behind the scenes. She is good at, you know, building these secret societies and finding ways to manipulate money and eliminate paper trails. So I think in a lot of ways, the fact that Trump landed in the White House was our salvation, even though right now it's hard to actually swallow a pill that's that big with tiny hands.
As a friend of mine who voted for Bernie in the primaries and voted for Trump in the election said, we had two terrible choices, and we chose one of them. And that's really, I think that's really the main lesson, is that we the people have been largely disenfranchised from the whole system. And the fact that we had two, you know, my joke last summer was, in conversations all across the country, people were asking themselves, so who are you voting against? And that was really what it was. People didn't vote for Hillary. They voted against Trump. People did not vote for Trump. They voted against Hillary. And I think that's very, you know, what you say is very important. And yet that aspect of the Democratic Party, that, you know, the stake has not been driven through that heart of darkness yet. They, you know, Hillary is still making noises like she wants to run again. And, of course, the Swami says if she does choose to run, Swami supports her. He volunteers to lead the mob that chases her. So, she may run. But I think that what I'm looking at happening in 2020 is a true independent political movement. I'll give you an example. If you are a Democrat and go along with the Democrat program, even though you may not individually support this, the Democrats are in favor of fracking. They're in favor of GMOs. They're, you know, California here, the most progressive state in the country, supposedly. Now there is mandatory vaccination. Well, if you are aware of alternative health, if you're aware of how Big Pharma has thwarted alternatives, including medical cannabis, et cetera, until they can, you know, get their talons on it themselves, you know, you recognize that the Democratic Party has been a shill for corporations. And, you know, if the current, it's not just the Republicans. The Democrats have been the other corporate party. And while they'll make certain noises about certain things, it's permissible to be in favor of gay rights if you're a Democrat, but it's not really permissible to be against mandatory vaccinations. And if you do the research, you'll find that there are some really questionable things about all of the vaccines that our young children are getting, and autism and other mental problems that come from that. My point is that if we defeat Trump and install a Democrat administration, that is not going to solve any of our problems, because those people are not really prepared to tell as much truth as we need to have right now, so that we could heal our past. We need think we need truth and reconciliation, similar to what they did in South Africa, so that the perpetrations of the deep state and of things like the Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, which if you read William Pepper's book on the King assassination, he, an attorney, proved in court that it was the CIA, the FBI, and mobsters from Memphis who actually did the killing and not James Earl Ray. And in a court of law in Memphis, Tennessee in 1999, that was proven. However, these perpetrations have done such spiritual and emotional damage to us that it's enabled the kind of election that we had this past year and enabled somebody like Donald Trump to the emotional immaturity and post-traumatic stress on the body politic resulting from the Kennedy assassination, from the King assassination, from the perpetrations of 9/11 and other deep state kinds of activity that have been unacknowledged, sort of like pedophilia in the Catholic Church, has created such a trauma in our national spirit that we've been unable to make wise decisions, functional decisions, let alone wise decisions. That's what has to be healed. Truth and reconciliation is a way to do that.
Yes, absolute transparency, I think, is the first step. And making these people reveal themselves, reveal their agendas, reveal their sponsors and their affiliations and their little secret pacts, I think, is going to be a big part of this next step of, you know, reclaiming the government in America. But you mentioned briefly there working on the idea of the spiritual nature of American consciousness and how that moves into a whole different realm. So we've only got about 5 minutes left. I don't know how much we can get into that, but what do you
I'll
see
just
happening
squeeze it
spiritually?
In.
Good.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna plug my own book, Spontaneous Evolution, with Bruce Lipton. In Spontaneous Evolution, in the chapter called Rediscovering America, we look at both the spiritual roots of our founding fathers and the Native American roots of how our system of governance is organized. So we, if you could look it up, we took the from the Iroquois Nation, we took the balance of powers, the separation of powers. We took the confederation idea of states gathering together as a confederation. But the one thing that we didn't take from the Iroquois Nation was the Council of Grandmothers. And in that confederation, it was the elder women who decided if the tribe went to war or not, and they could impeach a chief that they felt was either incompetent or unscrupulous. Because we have been that so disconnected from the feminine in our country, we haven't had that balance. Nature doesn't get a vote. The ones who are not really in power, who need to be protected, they don't get a vote. And so one of the other things that's happening that I'm very excited about is that I think one of the things that will help the transformation is essentially focusing on the heart and soul of this country and bringing together secular, religious, spiritual, but not religious leaders and so on in kind of a consortium to really look at what is our mission statement as a nation? What is our spiritual foundation that transcends both religion and non-religion? The founders, most of them, while they were Christians on the surface, they were primarily deists, and they essentially believed in natural law, which resonated quite well with the native peoples who were there when they arrived. And the idea is that we have rights We have the same right to life, liberty, and happiness as the grass has to grow. These are natural rights, not guaranteed by a king, but guaranteed by a government of the people, by a covenant that we make to create an entity to govern ourselves. And so I see that the movement to really transform is a spiritual movement, because at the foundation of this movement is some version of the Golden Rule. And only by gathering around the Golden Rule can we overrule the rule of gold.
That's beautifully stated. And I, being Potawatomi, which is part of the woodland peoples, I'm very aware of and sensitive to the fact that there is a renaissance occurring within Native America. And I think that both political parties are trying to underplay that and trying to suppress that, but I think ultimately it is happening. So, and Steve, you're at, what's your website?
Wake Up Laughing. And if you want political information, send me a note at info@wakeuplaughing.com.
Thank you very, very much for spending time with me, and I'm sure we'll have another chat before too much longer in the future.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you much.
Bye now.
Bye.